Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soulful Hunter podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I'm on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship is conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters, both new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. This podcast is also proudly presented by T&K Hunting Gear. If you haven't heard about T&K, then it's about time you do, everyone. I've been using T&K gear out in the field and on hunts and have absolutely fallen in love with their stuff. T&K is veteran-owned and 100% made in America, using only American-made products. All their gear is covered under a lifetime warranty with no questions asked. If it breaks or fails, they will fix or replace it for free. T&K is your resource for bino harnesses, bow slings, and a lot more amazing gear. For more information about T&K hunting gear, go to their website at T&K hunting.com. That's T&K hunting.com. Or you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Hope you guys enjoy this episode. Don't forget to leave a review from T&K and the Soulful Hunter. Freedom on and stay soulful. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soulful Hunter podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Today's episode is focused on Pass It On Outdoor Mentors, based out of the state of Kansas. And we got Brittany Waldman on to talk about her role within Outdoor Mentors and what she does and how she got involved with it and what it is all about. You know, for you, those of you who've been listening to the podcast for some time, you know that I'm a school teacher. You know that I'm a National Archery in Schools program instructor and all about mentorship. Our tagline is mentorship is conservation, and we believe that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure and what it offers. And so through social media and just the amazing world that we live in and how paths are meant to connect and cross, I ran into Brittany on social media and we started chatting and we have communicated quite a bit. And I was like, we got to get you on a podcast. I need to know more about Pass It On Outdoor Mentors. Also, are you outside of Kansas? How do we get this going nationwide? And all of this. So before we dive in anymore, I just want you to get a real good understanding that mentoring hunters is going to be single-handedly the greatest impact you can do to have hunting last for generations to come. If you want to invest in hunting, invest in people's lives, because when you invest in people's lives, there's no measure of reward that is going to come from it, because you can't outgive good, and that is always going to be the best way to go, because what mentorship is just straight loving people, and it is our job. We, you know, whether you believe in a creator or whatever, but God says, love man, love me, and that's it. So loving others as ourselves, we would want someone to invest time in us. So we like to invest time in others. You go, it's full circle. You can't outgive good. And it leads me to Brittany. Brittany, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, amen to that. Thanks for having us, Johnny. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. This is a long time coming, this conversation. I've wanted to have you on for a while, but then life happened and,
yeah,
you know, you have some cool plans this year. I had some things shake up on me a little bit, and but here we are. We're recording. We got a great episode. And so just tell the listeners who you are. What is your role within Pass It On Outdoor Mentors and everything else that you're doing? And let's just dive in from there.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I am the director of field operations for our shooting sports outreach program. And I was actually just hired on last June of 2019. But to kind of rewind that time, I was interning back in 2015 at Big Brothers Big Sisters in the state of Kansas here. And this man popped into my cubicle one day and said, hey, Brittany, I heard you're from Western Kansas and you like to hunt and do outdoorsy things. Do you want to take some kids out hunting with me? And I thought, okay. And lo and behold, this outdoor mentors program was part of Big Brothers Big Sisters. And so I kind of got involved by going on my first turkey hunt with them in April of 2015. And, you know, we're casually driving along some back roads in the Flint Hills of Kansas. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but it's just gorgeous. And this little boy in my backseat's like, Brittany, what is that? Look, what is that? And adamant that there's something out there besides the cow I'm staring at. And I'm like, gosh, I don't know. I think that's just a cow. So we finally pulled over and I look out there and I point and I'm like, you know, Jimmy, is that what you're talking about? He goes, yeah. And I was like, that is a beef cow. And he had no recollection that cows existed outside of that black and white, you know, dairy cow type of look. And, you know, in my head at the time, I'm thinking, holy cow, no pun intended. This is super important that we get these kids outdoors, you know?
Yeah.
So many kids don't have the privilege to get outdoors like we do. And I just feel like it was kind of my calling to get involved at that point. So it was a true blessing that I was able to do that in 2015 and went to grad school. And, you know, after grad school, I thought, man, it'd be good to work for outdoor mentors at some point in my career. And maybe I'll just hold on to that thought. And then, you know, fast forward 2 years after grad school, I got hired on. So it's been a really big blessing to be part of the crew.
That's so cool. So for all you listeners out there, my goal and hope through this podcast episode is for you to become inspired from what Brittany's story is, but also what Outdoor Mentors is all about, so that maybe you want to take action in your own life and in your own community and start up an organization similar to Passing On Outdoor Mentors, or become an offshoot or a branch or division within your own state and within your own community. Because realistically, we got to get people back to the roots of humanity and self-preservation and the idea of being able to just take care of yourself and not having to rely on other people. The self-reliance aspect is so important. So really, that is like the antithesis of what I wanted this podcast to be all about. So Brittany, love it. Tell us more. Tell us, like, how long has Pass It On Outdoor Mentors been around? And then who was who was it that got you involved? And tell us the story.
Yeah, we've got a pretty rich history. So back in 1999, they introduced the first youth pheasant season here in Kansas, which was super exciting. And so the former Kansas Big Brother Big Sisters CEO actually was neighbors with my current boss and Outdoor Mentors president, Mike Christensen. And so they kind of got together and started talking. And this CEO goes, you know, Mike, how would you like to take some kids out for this youth season they have? You know, we get to go to the field a week early before everybody else. Like, it might be kind of fun, right? And so Mike jumped right away at that. You know, he was in an IT business, so he really didn't have much involvement with Big Brothers Big Sisters at the time. But they were able to take a group of young boys who were on the waiting list to be matched to a mentor at Big Brothers Big Sisters out hunting, and just had an absolute blast. I mean, these kids hadn't experienced anything like this. They were able to only walk like one pheasant field before they were just tuckered out, but definitely wanted to go again the next day. So they knew they had something going right then and there. So fast forward to 2002, that same former CEO came up to Mike and said, how would you like to do this for a living? And Mike goes, well, yeah, I'd love it. And he goes, okay, go fundraise your salary and you can get started. So that's kind of what he did. Yeah, we got funded by the National Shooting Sports Foundation and Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation back in 2002 to get started. And so that was kind of the intention there, is that there's lots of women who are able and more willing to step up to the plate to mentor young women at Big Brothers, or young women at Big Brothers Big Sisters, but they're having a hard time matching the young boys. So they thought, man, outdoorsy guys, this is super easy, right? Lots of them around Kansas. We'll just match them to all the littles on the waiting list, and we'll get a bunch of kids out hunting and fishing while we also match them, which is just great. And so that's been the you know, the core of our program for the last 19 years almost.
Man, that is so cool. So
yeah.
So
yeah.
You got hired. Your role within Outdoor Mentors has only then grown, and you guys are branching out and doing more things. What are you guys up to nowadays? This started early 2000s. It's 2020. So what type of growth and progress have you guys made?
Yeah, 2 decades later, it's been incredible. We are now, you know, as we're kind of dabbling more into the R3 world, right? This recruitment, retention, reactivation, we found that, you know, not does our outdoor mentoring program works fantastic, you know, matching these kids to adults in like a one-on-one fashion that's supported by Big Brothers Big Sisters is great, but it's not going to change the needle very rapidly, right? And so we kind of thought, what else could we do to really change that? And in Kansas, we have the Kansas State High School Clay Target League, which is just like a mushrooming shooting sports league. They have trap, skeet, and sporting clays at the middle school and high school level. So they went from about, I think it was 60 some teams when they first started, and now they're close to 100 with 2,000 kids participating in the league. Wow. So what I kind of do, yeah, it's awesome. It's so cool to see. I kind of get mad. I'm like, man, if I could have just gone to high school like 10 years later,
right?
That would have been sweet.
I know. I hear you on that. But, you know, there's everything happens the way it's supposed to. And our stories wouldn't be as powerful as they are if we didn't go through our experiences that have led us to this point. So,
absolutely.
Never live in the rearview mirror. It's all about creating our existence each and every moment and every day from here on out.
Absolutely. So I guess with that being said, I have the best job in the world because I get to coordinate and facilitate hunting opportunities for all of these kids in Kansas that are shooting on these trap teams.
Man, that is so cool. You know, because it's well, first off, here in the state of Washington, getting outdoors education into public schools is super tough. So I've been teaching for, oh man, I'm losing track, almost as long as Outdoor Mentors has been around. And I just recently got National Archery in Schools program started in my school. And so which was a huge step, and a lot of other teachers were uncomfortable with it because here in the state of Washington, especially in the I-5 corridor and the city life, you know, you have all these city folk that, you know, probably are anti-gun, anti-hunting, don't understand what it's like to climb a tree or build a fort or, you know, head out into the back 40 and really get lost in time for a while and all that. So you have these people that are fearful of the unknown, and that fear is so gripping in people's lives. And so I want to get, like, I forget what the program's called, but they bring air rifles into schools. So it's not firearms, but you learn gun safety, muzzle control, you know what you're shooting at and what lies beyond, all that stuff. But it was so hard getting archery that it's like, man, I don't know if I don't know if it's really going to fly here. And the parent support, which is always nice to have. And so it's tough. So you're in an environment where you have shooting sports in your high schools and middle schools, and now you also get to mentor them when it comes to hunting. That's powerful.
Right. It's fantastic. You know, and the great thing about this league is that in order for kids to participate in it, they have to have hunter education class or a gun safety class. And I would say 98% of them take hunter ed. So they're already learning those key components, like you mentioned, you know, muzzle control, safety using firearms, safety walking the fields, you know, and just like outdoor education in general. And I just think that's so important to educate these youth in.
Yeah.
Because they don't get it anywhere else.
No, and it makes safety rules so much more like realistic. Like, I teach a biking unit at my school. It's like, why do I have to have a helmet, or why do I have to wear my helmet that fits properly? You know,
oh, gosh,
and then all of a sudden you're like, well, because you could die. And then
they're
like, I don't know. But when you start teaching, like, you know, firearms, pellet guns, archery, all this other stuff, it puts all the safety perspectives, like, in front of people. And they're like, oh, okay, then I see why Mr. Mack is saying this for all these other units as well. Like, life skills.
Yeah. And just like overall maturity, right? Like, we get to talk about gun safety in a platform that's usually not talked about in a positive way, right?
Right.
So that's really exciting to be able to encourage these youth. Like, if you like shooting trap, that's fantastic. You can do it in the most safe way ever.
Man, that is so cool. How many kids have a difficult time transferring over from shooting clay pigeons to hunting animals?
You know, it's kind of funny. I would say not that many, but the one thing I've noticed kids struggle with the most is pheasant hunting.
Oh, really?
And I think it's because, and we've kind of done some different techniques in this, and I think it's because you don't walk with your gun mounted. You know, when you're walking through a field to flush a bird, it's down, or you're, you know, you're carrying it in a safe, safe format. And so when this bird flushes, these kids struggle with transitioning that gun to the shoulder and getting on the bird.
Wow.
So we've actually done some different things to mock up walking through a field. We actually like made this cutout of a dog on point and put our trap thrower behind it and had kids practice walking toward it. To then when we say, if we want to pull it, we pull it, and then they're able to practice mounting that gun in a more safe capacity versus in the field.
I like it. And an exact reason why you point a shotgun, not aim it, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, otherwise, I feel like these kids are fantastic. They're great shots. I mean, I'm always super impressed with their skills and their safety, you know, to be honest. I hardly ever have to get on any of my kids that we take out.
So what is the return rate of these kids that you are mentoring and them actually sticking with hunting or returning to hunting when they are, you know, because you're teaching and mentoring middle school and high school kids. So not all of them have the ability to buy their own firearm or ammunition. A lot of them can't drive, so they're not able to go to places where they could hunt. So what is the return rate on your investment when it comes to getting these kids a part of the hunting community to last for generations?
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal, right? That's the dream. Since we've only been doing this now for a year, we've got some pretty, you know, superficial surface level data to indicate that we've got quite a few kids coming back to a different species of hunts with us, which is great. That's exactly what we want. Moving forward, we're going to actually start using a control group here in Kansas. So of so many kids here in the state that aren't in our program, we'll track their license sales without using a program like ours, and then we'll track our kids probably 5 to 10 years out, so we can actually, you know, give like proof on those stats. You know, does a program like this really help a kid continue to hunt for the rest of their life?
Right.
So that's what the literature shows us, right? Is that, you know, kids in high school are, you know, sometimes exposed to hunting at a pretty small rate, and then when they turn 18, it's like they're off to college. You know, maybe they start a tech career or a family, and that's the first thing to take the back, that takes the back burner is hunting.
Yeah.
So we quickly see a drop off there. So our hope is that we can really retain these kids in our program by taking them on, you know, dove hunts, waterfowl hunts, deer hunts, pheasant hunts, you know, small game hunts, and then let them do it again the next year. And hopefully, you know, they're a committed hunter by then, or at least they're more motivated, as I've been saying, to do that without our help.
So you may not have an answer to this, but one of the questions I have is, out of your experience, since you're taking a lot of hunters, bird hunting, waterfowl hunt, upland bird, waterfowl, and then you have some big game hunting. Out of the three categories, where do you find the biggest return of hunters where they're hooked into what hunting is? And then being a second part of this question is, at what avenue do you feel like is actually the best route to mentor somebody? Is it big game? Is it waterfowl? Is it upland? Because my buddy over at Vortex Optics, Mark Boardman, who's a Washington State fella, he actually was talking to me. He's like, I believe that waterfowl hunting is the best way to mentor a hunter because it's going to give them a lot of trigger opportunity. It's social. Yep. You can sit there and chat. When business comes, it's time to get to business. But, you know, big game hunting, you might not see an animal for a long time. And then upland bird is like, well, if you don't have a bird dog, how are you going to go about this? So there's that investment into that process. So what, take us through it. I know that was kind of a long question, but.
No, yeah, I would probably have to agree that waterfowl is great. And I also think deer kind of takes the cake, you know? We were able to host about 52 deer hunts this season, between the October antlerless season, the youth season in September, and then the January antlerless season. And I feel like I had the most return expressed interest for my kids from those hunts, saying like, hey, I'm so pumped that I got to go deer hunting, or it was so awesome, even though I didn't tag anything. Do you think I could go out on a turkey hunt with you guys?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like bait and hook. But then, you know, we've had some really good waterfowl experiences where some of our kids are just, you know, so, so wound up after they go. I think that they go home and tell their parents that they have to buy every gun in the store and the fancy waiters and all, because they're just super invested right off the bat.
Right.
And it's that camaraderie you get to share, you know, and it that's just kind of priceless.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I feel like, you know, the whole concept of fish and turkeys have no souls, right? Where it, you know, anyone is okay with you killing a turkey. Anyone's okay with you, you know, catching and killing a fish. But when it comes to a four-legged animal, people are like, oh, I don't know. I'm not sure about that. So it's awesome to hear that your biggest excitement comes from when they are big game hunting, which in the state of Washington, you know, you get one deer tag a year. How many do you get in Kansas? Is it just
two.
One? Okay. So
technically you can get two doe and one antlered buck.
Okay.
So white tail or muley.
So then you're talking about a potential of three deer that you can take in 1 year. So in the state of Washington, you get one deer tag and you have to choose what weapon you're going to hunt it. And if you choose modern rifle, you have 2 weeks to hunt in October and 4 days to hunt in November. That's it.
Man.
That's hard to take a lot of time out to mentor somebody else when you're trying to fill your own freezer. And so one of the things, this might blow your mind. I don't know what bear hunting is like in Kansas, but
a whole lot of none.
So there you go. My biggest thing that I want to push, and I actually just wrote an article for Bear Hunting Magazine that's coming out in July, is
awesome.
I believe that bear hunting, at least for the state of Washington or wherever there is a liberal bear season, that is the ticket to mentor people. Because more often than not, like in the state of Washington, our bear season opens August 1st and closes November 15th. You can use whatever weapon you want, and you can kill two of them. You can get two tags. Well, it's a lot easier to not have to worry about filling your own tag when your season's so much longer. You know, you can take somebody out in the month of August and be like, hey, we're going to go backpacking. We're going to head into some berry fields. You're going to enjoy the sun, maybe bring a fishing pole with you, cast it in an alpine lake, and we're going to glass. And what we're going to do is backpack, and then we're going to bring a gun with us and optics. And then if we see a bear, we're going to shoot it. But it gets the hook of the whole soul aspect. This is why the soulful hunter is so powerful for me, is because it's not just the meat in the freezer. It is it's an and, not a or. So it's my feeding my own soul. It's feeding my family. It is making me a better person, challenging myself through difficult circumstances and pushing on and seeing how tough I am mentally, physically, emotionally. And so I actually think, like you said, big game hunting is going to provide the biggest reward and the biggest hook and catch for people. But it's funny how in different states, it depends on what animal it is, because it's usually going to fall around the most largest time frame of whatever season is available. Because
absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, if you don't love yourself, it's hard to love others. So if you don't feed your own family, it's hard to help feed somebody else.
Amen to that. I totally get it. And that's what I love about our mentors who step up. It's like, it's such a sacrifice and such a high level of selflessness to go out of your way and say, you know what, I'm going to give you 2 days of my time and sacrifice, you know, my 2 days of hunting for yours. You know, but Kansas, we get pretty lucky here because our seasons are a little bit longer than I would say yours are, but we have a really good, generous youth seasons to where technically, my mentors are kind of chomping at the, you know, the bait, ready to go during the youth season. So yeah, they're like, yeah, I'll get out 2 weeks early. I don't mind at all.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, is Kansas more of a public land state or a private land?
It's more private. We do have public lands through our state, some WEHAs and state wildlife areas that you can do like some lotteries on, special hunt wise.
So when it comes to these children getting access to hunting, is it, I'm a part of the Outdoor Mentors group and people are more willing to open up their land to them, or is it the mentor that's finding the private access, or is it a part of the organization? How is it that? Because I feel like as new hunters, no matter what age you are, if you can teach somebody how to self-advocate for themselves, well, I'm repeating my words right there, self-advocate for themselves. if you can teach somebody to advocate for themselves, you are teaching a man how to fish instead of just feeding him a fish.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what part of that is the program?
You know, I would say it's tough to find spots here in Kansas. It really is. The problem is, you know, you can do WEHA, and I'm a firm believer in that. In Western Kansas, where I grew up, there's a lot more walk-in hunting area than there is here in Central Kansas, where I'm kind of living now. Kind of take that for granted, right? And so especially as a new hunter, you don't expect them to know what WEHA is, how to get to it, but then also know how busy it might be opening weekend.
Right. What is WEHA, by the way, just for the listeners?
So it's walk-in hunting area. So that's owned by the state, but it's open to the public with very few limitations.
WEHA, W-I-H-A. I was thinking W-E-H-A. Okay, yeah.
Yep. Walk-in hunting area, and they actually have walk-in fishing areas as well.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And so these mentored hunts will start at a WEHA area or
so
what?
They're kind of all in between that. We use public lands, we use private lands. We have very faithful landowners in our program. I mean, I'm talking landowners for 20 years now who have said yes to mentoring or hosting kids on mentored hunts.
Powerful.
I definitely find it, you know, much easier to say, hey, Bob, can I come hunting? And he goes, oh, I don't know. And I said, but it's for the kids. It's like, yeah, bring two of them.
Right. That's why I just got to jump in there real quick. They always say, if you're going to ask for permission on private land, it's always best to bring your kids with you.
Yes.
That way
yes,
it's like,
absolutely.
Like, hey, can I hunt your land? No. My kid, my little teary-eyed boy standing next to me, and they're like, oh, okay, fine.
But probably, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, we've actually just recently, we've always had a good relationship with our State Department, but just recently after this year with our new program, we've really kicked up our partnerships with them for our special hunt opportunities. So the state has dozens and dozens of wildlife areas, right? And they do lotteries of special hunts. So anything from deer, goose, waterfowl, dove, pheasant, you name it, quail. All of these go kind of in the pot and you can log online and put your ticket in to be drawn for it. And ironically, 20% of those go unfilled.
Wow.
I have no idea how, and it's a bigger number of them are the youth ones that go unfilled.
That's crazy. You know, so, I actually shot my very first deer just last August on a special permit hunt that there was more tags available than what people applied for.
Isn't that so weird? Yep. I just don't understand it. And, so I don't know if it's maybe like a lack of awareness, and that's kind of the fun part also is like showing these kids resources and parents too, right?
Yes.
Because parents can apply for it.
Yep.
That's been kind of a huge blessing for us because we've gotten in on like Cheyenne Bottoms, which is like waterfowl heaven here in Kansas, like during the youth season, you know, like that's where like people are like waiting outside the barricades, you know, get in at 3 a.m.
Yeah. I'm getting a phone call right now as we're, I got to decline this. Listeners, I'm recording from my phone directly into a Zoom device for the very first time, and apparently I can still get phone calls and get the beep beep going on, so I apologize. And I'm not cutting that out because I feel like that's so real.
It adds character.
That's right. Okay, so question that I had for all of you is Outdoor Mentors, pass it on. It's in Kansas. Is it expanding anywhere else? Is it getting is it getting larger? How do people get involved?
We're pretty excited about this. We just signed a quote-unquote mini contract with Iowa and the DNR there, to where we will be expanding our shooting sports outreach program into a pilot program there, where they have SETP teams, which is the Scholastic Clay Target Program. They've got close to like 4,500 kids shooting trap in the state of Iowa, right?
Yeah.
Every time I say Iowa, I'm like, is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. But super excited about branching out there and in partnership with the DNR. So actually their SETT program is run by the DNR. So it's going to be a really great relationship to, you know, start off on, because we have a lot of the contacts. We have good rapport with the coaches already through them.
Yeah.
So we're pretty stoked about that. You know, and getting involved, Johnny, this is the cool thing about my program, is like, I would like to say I did all of this in our program and can do all this by myself, but that's not even close to being true. It takes a huge village.
Absolutely.
To mentor these kids. And so when I host these hunts or I facilitate these hunts, it's not me always there. It's me networking with local conservation groups like Pheasants Forever or Delta Waterfowl or Ducks Unlimited or NWTF. Backcountry Hunters and Anglers has been huge for us this year. It's me leaning on those guys and gals and asking them, hey, can you step up and help me out with this hunt? I've got the land. I've got the kids. I need you to be a mentor.
Yeah. I like that. I feel like,
man, it's great.
I feel like conservation groups in general drop the ball when it comes to new hunters. They are a huge resource, and yet they're like, well, if it's not within our target area, where you can't really do it, you know, like,
you know, I like to think that it's kind of like the most of us get comfortable with our routine.
Yeah.
And it's like, if we host our banquet and host a youth hunt and maybe a ladies hunt, we're good.
Yeah. It's good enough.
Yeah. I'm going to lay low now.
Right. You know, I was always taught that either you're getting better or you're getting worse, and that there's no in the middle, because at the moment that you decide to put cruise control on or coast, you may be thinking that you're not getting worse, but everyone else around you has the opportunity to surpass you, therefore causing you to only become worse in your own life. And so,
yes, absolutely.
So if we are, and I hate the word grind. I believe that the word grind should not be used in everyday life. If you're
kind of negative, right?
Because it's a negative word. We're not grinding life out. My life is awesome. I am living in an awesome existence, and I can't wait to share it with everybody in the world. It's like, dude, Brittany, you ever been to an amazing restaurant before and just were blown away?
Yeah.
Did you not tell all your friends about it and be like, you got to try this restaurant out? It was awesome.
Yep.
That's how I feel hunting should be. I don't understand why people are not shouting from the rooftops being like, you guys got to hunt. It's going to change your life. You're going to be transformed. It's going to blow you away. Is it going to suck? Yeah, but that's the fun of it. Being cold only challenges your own core. You know, it challenges your mind. Being wet, having to pack out a heavy pack or a long distance, or having wet feet, or, you know, it's like, dude, I feel like there's so much beauty in the westward expansion of the U.S. and the pioneer days and the mountain man and the whole concept of the self-reliance and getting through, that this is what is making people soft in their own existence, and they're totally missing the picture. And hunting can bring you back to that self-identity of who you are as a person and what sets you on fire.
I couldn't have said it better. When I think of hunting, and especially like backcountry hunting, which obviously we don't have a lot of here in Kansas, we're as flat as it gets. We don't have mountains and rough terrain. But I just think of discipline and the respect for the game, respect for the nature, respect for the opportunity. And it's like, when you come face to face with those two things on like a hunting outing, I mean, how do you not just walk away so reflected on life?
Yeah, totally. Totally. It renews the soul. It renews the soul. Come on. Now, we are just spitting fire right now, Brittany. Let's go. Let's go. All right. So I want to just get back to the conservation groups for a second and talk a little bit about this. So you are dealing with Big Brother, Big Sister. You are pass it on, outdoor mentors. You're dealing with high schools and middle schools. How many of your school teachers are now a mentor within your program? And did you know, in case you didn't, that Safari Club International, SCI, offers an adventure wilderness school for teachers in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where they will put teachers on a grant where it's paid for to put them through outdoor education. They become NASP certified and learn all about the North American model of wildlife conservation so that they can take it back to their communities, their schools, and really make an impact.
I did not know that, but it's awesome. And I think I need to get my teaching license real quick to be part of that.
Well, so I would agree. I'm like, okay, sign me up. But going back to the whole mentor thing, how many of your teachers are mentors? And then how great would it be if you could connect your teachers through the wilderness school program and then all tie it back in, all encompassing, and really make an impact on hunting?
Man, that would be phenomenal, right? I'm a firm believer of knowledge is power. If I could go to school every day for the rest of my life, I would, just because I love learning.
Yeah.
You know, ironically, though, a lot of our, like, quote-unquote teachers of our schools probably aren't really necessarily our mentor population.
Isn't that sad? I see that all the time.
Yeah, I would say maybe we've probably got, in our traditional program, I think we probably have more teachers than that. But for, like, my shooting sports outreach program, I would say most of our mentors are not teachers, but coaches of the trap teams and parents of the trap teams, which is kind of even more exciting for me because that kind of hits closer to home when you talk about social support for these kids, and that's what's needed for them to continue to hunt.
Absolutely. Extending it beyond the classroom. I remember, so going back to when I first got hired as a school teacher, they also asked me, well, can you coach sports? And I was like, yeah, I can coach sports. Let's do this. And so I ended up coaching four sports for the first, like, 10-plus years of my teaching career. I coached
That is insane,
football.
Just so you know.
Yeah, thank you. And I had an outside job on top of that. It was, I don't know.
It makes sense on why you're a distance runner now. I get it.
I'm a wannabe distance runner. It was football, boys basketball, girls basketball, and I alternated between lacrosse and track and field. And so I had this going on, and it was really interesting. It's like, well, why are no other teachers coaching these sports? Or why is no one else really investing? You get to know these students so much more outside of the classroom in these environments, and that's where these great impacts are made. There's a famous coach from the Northwest up here that says, you may not understand the impact you made in these children's lives until the day that they get married. When you start getting all these wedding invitations from these students or former athletes that were like, hey, coach, you really made an impact in my life. And I feel like that is, dude, mentoring people is loving people. Loving them through stuff.
You know? Where they're at, right?
Yes, medium where they're at and loving on them. Absolutely.
I think that's the biggest hang-up people have with mentoring is like, oh, they first off the bat, I don't have enough time. What if I don't relate to that person? You know, what if there's drama or confrontation at some point? It's like, that's all the beautiful part of it, right? Is that you get to learn to love someone and they get to learn to love you back. I've been mentoring this young girl since this will be our 8-year anniversary this September through Big Brothers, Big Sisters. And like, this is so cliche, but she's mentored me more than I've mentored her. I mean, just life-changing experiences and a lifelong friendship. You know, she was at my college graduation, my grad school graduation. She'll graduate in high school in 4 years. So it's like, this is awesome. She'll be at my wedding in October. It becomes a family when you put the nitty-gritty details aside. You become more, it's more than mentoring, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's life. It really,
it's kind of everything.
your strongest bonds when you're breaking sweat and shedding blood or Really, what it comes down to is those that have difficult times together have the strongest bonds.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Like I had a lot of fun times in college, but it wasn't those fun times that really connected me with the people I was with. It's the trying times that brought me closer together.
Yeah, absolutely.
One of the things I want to talk about, which you just brought up and mentioned, is the concept of time. So one of the I truly believe that people live in a mindset of scarcity. They're like, I don't have enough time. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough resources. I don't have enough food. I don't have enough meat in the freezer. So therefore, I can't take someone else hunting because I need to feed my own self. And I want all you listeners out there and to really challenge your mindset and start living in a mindset of abundance, that my cup overflows. I have more than enough.
Amen.
And that I will always have more than enough because my life I create in each moment, and I know that I will always be able to take care of myself. And so living in an abundance of time and living in an abundance of finances, and it also, that asterisk right there, you also need to make wise decisions. You can't be just willy-nilly, but at the same time, you know, giving to charities, giving to, you know, how many, you ever spent time raising money for a charity?
Oh, yeah. I'm a nonprofit. I raise money every day.
Exactly. How rewarding is it to bring in a ton of money, not for yourself?
Oh, it's fantastic. Fantastic.
But as on a personal level, how does it make you feel?
Oh, like I've given more than I could ever give to something, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. And so last year I did a leadership conference and we had to do a fundraiser. We were blessed to do a fundraiser and because we got words have a lot of power and we got to be careful on the words we choose.
You got to speak it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm a big believer in speaking my life into existence, how I want
it
to be. So I was blessed to do a fundraiser for children who had cancer and their siblings. So it was a family camp where not only the kid that had cancer, but also their siblings all got to go to a camp together. That way it wasn't always about, you know, usually like cancer is like so overwhelming that the other kids get forgotten about. It was a way to encourage all family members to really get loved on. And so I personally, and this is not, I'm not trying to pat my back. I didn't know how much money I could raise, especially because this camp was in California and I was in Seattle. And so I was like, okay, well, talking about it beforehand, I was like, I could probably raise $500.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, $500, how am I going to get people to donate $500? I ended up raising in 1 week by myself over $4,000.
Jeez,
yes.
Killing it.
Yes. And the whole point of the story, why I'm sharing this, is it just takes people the courage to ask.
Yep.
Hey, will you teach me this? Hey, will you help me out with this? Hey, will you support me in this? Hey, can I have permission to hunt your property? Will you, you know, and really it's that self-reliance and advocating for yourself, which is going to then just turn into this big wheel of loving life and living it to the fullest.
Right. The answer is always no until you ask, right?
That's right.
No, that's super powerful and just such a good perspective to hold in your mind, you know, when you're asking yourself, do I have time to mentor or do I have what it takes to mentor?
Right.
Do I have what it takes to do something bigger than myself?
Yeah. And oh man, Britt, see, I don't know. I don't know if you can see me right now. I'm on my soapbox. I'm standing. I'm talking. But this whole concept of abundance is like, you are not incapable of communicating. You are not incapable. You know something, and what you know is important. You are, as a human, are important. So knowledge is power, and the ability to share your knowledge is so powerful. You know, it's not a matter of how much you give, it's that you give. So
Absolutely.
I'm a new hunter. I've only been doing this for 5 years. I've already been taking out other hunters, teaching them what I know. And I tell them, you may not get to know everything from me, but you're going to get to know stuff. And so,
I love it.
You know,
so important.
It's, dude, let's change the world. And not just that.
So important, yeah.
Let's change lives, impact lives, man. Just set souls on fire.
Man. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Dang, Britt. Okay. So we talked about fun.
I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, girl. We talked about fundraising and how I asked you, I was like, you ever fundraised before? And you're like, well, I do it every day. That's my job. So Outdoor Mentors is a nonprofit, correct?
Yes, sir.
So if you're listening to this podcast and you feel motivated to donate and you are not a fan of conservation groups or whatever organizations, if you want to donate towards a program in which is directly affecting the next generation of hunters, how do they get involved in being able to donate? And is it tax deductible? Are you a 401c3 or C4? Like, what? Take us through the steps.
Yes, yes, and yes. So we are a 501c3. So we have our nonprofit classification. So unique thing about what we do and how we raise a lot of our money for our program, ironically, is doing a lot of raffles. You know, we're currently raffling off an Alaskan fishing trip right now. Super awesome. Yeah, it's incredible. I'm kind of a little jealous. I work for Outdoor Mentors now because I can't technically win anymore. But, you know, we do raffles every so many weeks. Lots of people love to buy tickets to get into there, and those are direct contributions to us. Or you can go to our website at outdoormentors.org. And there's a donate option, and yes, it is tax deductible. And, you know, we are always so super appreciative of people who give generously. You know, I think that we're called in life to give our time, talent, or treasure. So if you can't give two of them, you can always give the third. And sometimes that happens to be, you know, the treasure for some folks.
Say that again. And say it slower because these listeners, they need to hear this. What? say that again.
I think that in life we're called to, you know, really give our time, talent, and treasure, you know, at least one of the three things on a regular basis to keep our life centered, to keep ourselves humble, you know, and just do things to be kind humans.
Yeah.
And so I always like to think if someone can't come out and demonstrate their talents in the field for us, or maybe they don't have enough time this week, or maybe they're dealing with something personally, they don't have that time. Well, you can throw in $20, you know, well, or vice versa.
Absolutely. And that, here's the thing is, like, listeners, it doesn't have to be $50, $100, or large amounts. However, if you are in an abundance and a financial position in which you can, heck yeah, donate it. But at the same time, donate a dollar, donate 50 cents, whatever it is, like, throw it in the pot because you can't outgive good. And
when
you put it out into the universe, it's going to come around. And we don't give for the reward. We give out of the kindness of our own heart because we want to love other people.
Yep. Amen. You know, God's good. We've been around for, you know, like I said, almost 20 years. And, you know, I've obviously not been with the program the whole time, but I know there are thin times in that budget throughout our career. But the door has always been open, and God's always provided for us in some capacity to keep serving these kids. And I think it's meant to be, you know, I think we're supposed to be speaking life into these kids through the outdoors. And so to me, that's worth every penny you could ever give.
Yeah, totally. I agree 100%. You know, there's a lot of stories in a lot of ancient texts where people go to find themselves in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where they find clarity, they find identity, they find healing, and all of those go hand in hand with hunting. And it's whether it is the back country or the back 40, it does not matter. As long as you're getting to a place of quiet solitude, and solitude could be with a partner, but solitude in your own mind, free of distraction. All you have is your own thoughts. This is why I actually love ultra running, is I don't, you know, I won't listen to any music or podcasts or audiobooks on my long runs until I got like a half hour or an hour left. And I'm like, okay, I've gone through all my thoughts. It's time to, it's time to hear somebody else's. But that's the thing.
I love that.
I think people are afraid to be alone. And
we are made to be in community with each other. And what mentorship is creating a community for people.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I've gotten, you know, the privilege of taking out so many young girls through our program. We lack having women to take girls out. You know, women are, you know, yes, we're a rapid growing population in the hunting community, but we're still not a mighty number to serve as many young girls that want to go hunting. And so I just think and reflect back on all the times I've sat in a deer stand or walked a pheasant field with these young girls who are just toying with so many different things in life, right? Like cyberbullying or boyfriends or strife in their home. And it's like, wow, like it's what a relief that they can just dump all on me, you know, seek advice or wisdom if they want, but just be able to connect with nature.
Yes, absolutely.
Like how peaceful that is.
It's purifying.
Oh, it's like freedom. Like you said, it's just like living free.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and being able to confide in somebody and tell the truth, and people live their whole lives just holding on to things, holding on to secrets, holding on to regrets, holding on to would haves, should haves, could haves, and it brings sickness into their lives. You know, if you, mm-hmm. This is why the outdoors is so healing. You can get a chance to just like release it. My brother, Lucas Mack, he has a fantastic TED Talk that's on YouTube where it was about face the pain, speak the pain, release the pain. And it's about overcoming abuse. And
wow.
And so whether it's physical, sexual, emotional, religious abuse, you know, because there's a lot of things get corrupted in this world. And so we carry all this baggage. And so if we can first face it and then we can speak it, because words carry so much power, you got to be careful what you say, but you got to be specific on how you say it. And so when you speak the pain, and then the next step and the final step is you get to release it. You get to release it and live unattached. You know, they're untethered. Is a fantastic book. If you've ever, if you're into reading books, check out the book Untethered Soul. You'll really be challenged.
That's fantastic. I love that.
Man, Britt, I'm going off on tangents. I apologize. You're my guest. Let's get back.
You are fine.
Let's get back to Pass It On. So how can people donate? They can go to the website. Obviously, if you want to sign up for raffles, where do they find the raffles at?
Yeah, so if you go to our Facebook page or on our website, you can be connected directly to our website then to donate or buy in on the raffles.
And are these Facebook and Instagram pages, is it Pass It On Outdoor Mentors or is it Outdoor Mentors? Like, how do people find it?
Yep, you'll just search Outdoor Mentors. That's our handle for the Twitter, the Instagram, the Facebook, even our website.
Okay, sweet. And does Outdoor Mentors have any plans in growing to other states?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think that's the exciting part is that this program that we have on our hands it's so applicable to so many different populations of people. You know, and in my opinion, we can kind of call it a model.
Yeah.
On how we get kids out hunting. And so why would we not take this model and apply it to the hunter education class that just graduated? Why would we not take this model and apply it to the group of ladies that shoot trap, you know, every Wednesday, but don't hunt?
Right.
So I think we'll certainly be expanding this into many more other states, kind of engaging those different populations. I'm pretty pumped. We're going to start dabbling in the college area as well this year. So I'm looking forward to kind of bringing those two groups together to see what kind of synergies and like peer mentoring we can get going on.
Well, you know, and that's going to give you the biggest reward is when you have the kids go through the program that then give back and mentor others. The ones that go off to college and be like, all right, hey, who wants to learn how to hunt? This is what I learned. You're going to love it. And
yes,
starts,
I can't wait for that.
Nothing beats organic advertisement.
Man, that's my favorite. I mean, I just think that if you inspire somebody enough to not only continue to hunt, to be like, oh, I also want to teach someone now, it's like my job's done. Like That is fantastic.
Yeah. I always live by this quote. It says, inspired people inspire people. And that's actually, I'm quoting my father right there. That's something that he always taught me growing up was inspired people inspire people. So if you get inspired, you are then going to be an inspiration for other people. And one thing to remember is that inspiration is not external. Inspiration is internal. Motivation is external. You know, you can motivate somebody with a carrot or a stick, but to inspire somebody is to set their soul on fire and for them to then want to carry the torch on their own.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What?
Yeah, it's just...
Oh, go ahead.
I just read this Bob Goff devotional the other day, and it was like, so many people talk about making plans, but you're never remembered for what you plan to do. You know, you're remembered for what you did and how you made someone feel. And it's just how many of us have that dream or that you're inspired in that moment to do something and then we don't take the first step.
Yeah, dude, so true. I was watching the movie. I was watching the movie Troy the other night, and the little kid is like, "You're going to war? Aren't you afraid to die?" And he's like, oh, "That's why no one will ever remember your name."
Exactly.
You know.
Exactly. Yeah. You
know, no risk, no reward.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So to wrap this show up, is there anything that I am missing that I did not ask in regards to Pass It On and Outdoor Mentors and anything that you want to share? And then following with that is, how do people get connected? And I know you shared some of that stuff already, but I want you to share it again. Also, we'll have all the contacts in the show notes, but Britt, is there anything that I missed?
You know, no, this was fantastic. Super exciting to just talk about what we're doing and how we can get more people involved. I would say that's my biggest thing is we're so welcoming to new mentors. We're so welcoming to people who, you know, have some land that they don't mind kids hunting on. I'm all for connecting and, you know, talking the talk with people that let them kind of see what our program's all about.
That's so cool. Now I gotta throw out a little plug right here, because when you started doing this, I got super jacked. You started doing an article series called This Is Why I Mentor, right?
Yes. Inspired by the one and only Johnny Mack.
Well, thank you. That's not why I was bringing that up. But what I wanted to really get out of it is you started asking these mentors why it is that they mentor and then what they get out of it and all this. So what are some of the things that you've picked up from this that you were kind of shocked or in awe or were not expecting as far as answers go?
Yeah. You know, I think there's a lot of like mentor research that has gone on and currently happening, I'm sure, about what kind of incentives do people need to be mentors or continue to mentoring. And I think what I've found with, you know, kind of interviewing these people real briefly, our mentors real briefly, is that they don't need a darn thing. They just are so inspired by mentoring that that's all they need.
Yeah.
You know, and I love hearing from people how they got inspired to mentor. And it's just like a full circle, you know?
Yep.
How many of the stories started with, well, it just took my buddy from college asking me if I wanted to go duck hunting.
Totally.
You know?
Totally.
Or I just kind of started following my uncle around one day when he was out dove hunting and kind of liked it.
Yeah.
And so, I just love that. I love that. You know, and I think that's exciting to share too about our mentors. And that's why Ian Burrow was the one that told me about Washington Backcountry and about the This Is Why I Hunt or This Is How I Hunt series that you had. I was like, man, that would be cool to do a little tribute to our mentors and just inspire other mentors to do the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's a question I get all the time is like, how do you find time or why do you do what you do so much when it can be heavy sometimes and time constraining? And I'm just like, I don't know, but I just do and I love it. And I just hope that people can read through these different stories and just feel some type of motivation or inspiration from them.
Man, that's so cool. The book Untethered Soul that I talked about earlier.
Yeah.
It talks about this concept of energy and people are like, oh, I don't have any energy, I'm tired. But then all of a sudden you could see something and have all the energy in the world. So what is energy? And it's really more like a decision of like, oh, okay, I'm going to do something or I'm not going to do something. You know, because if it doesn't excite us, we don't have any energy for it. But if it excites us, it's easy to do. So the concept of mentoring is like, dude, you live in abundance. It's just a matter of a mindset in going for it. So, and going back to this whole concept of, you know, it's just really fun to mentor somebody. I just got done with my spring bear hunt where, first off, I brought a new hunter along who is a father of two boys, never killed a big game animal, and he got to lay hands and skin and field dress two different black bears here in the state of Washington. But I was also,
that is incredible.
Yeah, which is super cool. But at the same time, I was also with, I drew this permit along with my hunting partner who has never shot a black bear. And I got to be with him when he shot his first black bear. And even though I filled my tag, it was really even more special for me to see him fill his tag and be there with him than it was for me to fill my own tag. And I feel like if you don't put yourself in an experience like that, you're never going to understand. Everyone has an opinion. Not many people have perspectives. And when you have a perspective of a scenario, it'll open your eyes to so much more.
Man, it's so true. So true.
Man, this has been pure fire, Brittany. Pure fire.
Yeah. If you gotta give it away to keep it, right?
Oh, that's
not
right.
Not ours to hold on to.
That's right. You know, that whole saying of, if, you know, this is at least what I was told when I had girlfriends break my heart in middle school or high school and be like, well, you know, if it's meant to be and you really love her, then let her go. And if it's meant to be, it'll come back around, you know? And so,
yeah.
So I'm like, okay, put trust into the universe and let it go. So
absolutely.
Britt, how can people get a hold of you? Or, and if you don't want to give out your contact, how do people get in contact with Outdoor Mentors?
Yeah, you know, like I said, visit our website at outdoormentors.org. Again, our Facebook and Instagram page is Outdoor Mentors. More than happy to chat over the phone or via email. My email address is just bwaldman@outdoormentors.org. And I know you'll kind of share that stuff in the notes following, but like I said, I love connecting. I'm a painful extrovert, so you'll probably have to like kick me off this podcast at some point because I'm having too much fun.
You know, is this your first podcast?
No, I've done a few of them and I love them so much.
People always, like, if it's their first time recording, they're like, you get kind of nervous, and then all of a sudden, you don't realize how much fun it is to talk about things you love.
Man, I love it. Yeah, I could do it all day.
I know. I wish I got paid to do this. I love it. Well, Brittany, thank you so much for your time. Good to have you on. And do you have any opportunities of hunts for yourself this coming year?
You know, I sure hope so. We'll see. I would like to harvest my first buck at some point this year. I think I might have made that a little difficult on myself by getting married in October, but we'll see.
Is your fiance a hunter?
He's not. He's an onset. He's learning with me. It's been pretty fun to share that with him.
That's so cool. I was going to say, because when I started getting into hunting, my buddy, he lives in North Dakota now, Jeff, he's like, listen, you never get married on three times. One is Memorial Day weekend. One is the 4th of July. And the other is in hunting season. Because every time your anniversary rolls around, that weekend or that time is always dedicated towards something else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, we got to take Ben, my fiance, out pheasant hunting this past Christmas, and we did some walk-in hunting, and it was the best thing ever. He kicked up a pheasant, and he was so startled by it. He's like, I didn't even have time to try to shoot it. But it was just an incredible, you know, thing to share with him, and I'm looking forward to doing it more.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You can't outgive good, Brittany, and you are given a whole lot of it. Thank you so much for being
on. I appreciate it.
Yes.
Thanks, Johnny.
Oh, man.
Greatly appreciate it.
I love it. We love you. Thank you so much for being a part of the Soulful Hunter community. And listeners, go check out Outdoor Mentors, give them a like, donate if you can, be a part of it, figure out a way to how to get it started in your own community, and then make sure to spread the word about this podcast, because more people need to know about mentorship. More people need to know about hunting and the good side of it, not just tips and tactics and all this stuff. We need to talk about and share the stories of how it impacts lives. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening, tuning in. I'm Johnny Mack. Everybody, stay soulful. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag Soulful Hunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com and be sure to follow the podcast as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful.